Right now, you're listening to Hip Hop Digest with E Green, King Killer B, and Kurt G.
Don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You are men. You are men. You are men. You are men.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show. It's your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, it's E Green. And as promised, we dug in that fishbowl.
You know we did.
We got a brother on here of many names, but I'm going to let him go ahead and say what he's getting called tonight.
Yeah, this Grandmaster Busy Wizzy, formerly known as Atticus Bojangles, and most people call me Clever. Chris Clever.
Yeah. We got Grandmaster Busy Wizzy in the house tonight. He got a little story about where he came from.
Yeah. What's going on? Y'all survived. Everybody survived on recording night, so which is Tuesday. Everybody survived Love Day, Valentine's Day. Everybody's good.
I had no battle scars. I'm good.
Okay.
I don't have them type of problems.
Okay. All right. So we made it.
All right.
No doubt.
Good, Clev. You good?
Oh, let's just say I saved a lot of money.
There you go. Got nobody on the arm.
All right. No doubt. So we don't want to get too far into the show. Mr. Clever or Mr. Busy Wizzy or Mr. Atticus, whatever he feel like he want to do tonight. But before he do anything, he going to do what we do.
You know it.
Sir, your top three personal MCs.
Top three. I would say Mos Def.
Okay.
Biggie.
All right.
Black Thought. In no particular order.
Nice list.
Okay, no doubt. All right, tell us about the first piece of music, tape, CD, cassette, whatever, that you bought with your own money.
Yeah, I don't remember this. The first, I got a $20 bill for my birthday.
Oh,
I went
down
to the Waxy Maxies on Georgia Avenue, across from McDonald's, Howard University, and I got Beach Street Soundtracks Part 1 and 2.
Wow.
Part 1 was what? Yellow with purple writing. The other was purple with yellow writing. I'm sure you got them, Killer.
I think I got the vinyls in there. Yeah.
Wasn't the grills back down there back then?
The Waxy Maxies is where the
grill was.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Damn. No doubt. Wow.
Memories, boy.
I know memories.
Shit.
That's what's good. All right, gentlemen. So we're going to get right in. We got a few hot takes tonight, so we're going to get right in. Let's do some small stuff first here.
All right, start small.
All right. Swervin's former employer.
Oh, shit.
The RIAA wins $83 million in a piracy damage suit from YouTube rippers.
Woo!
So now, first of all, I didn't even think cats are still doing this shit. Considering you don't even have to go online, but I won't draw a snitch to do that.
You won't.
Yeah, but it was a Russian cat. He owned two domain names, flv.to.biz, which I've used myself a couple of times.
At least you part of that lawsuit, my nigga?
No, sir. They only got him. And anyway, another one, 2conv.com. A Virginia federal court approved the damages in a hard-fought legal battle. And basically, the damages came to exactly $82,922,500 in favor of the RIAA.
And 15 cents.
I'm saying at least that. Yeah, I can't swerve your former employee. They're still going after. Now, there's two things here. You know, and I'm sure the federal judge can't take this into consideration. There are plenty of online entities that play music and that you really can't rip, as you will. The technology exists for you to sort of be able to look, but you can't touch, if you will. All right? And I'm sure the judge can't take that into consideration. But YouTube is letting cats do it. Not that YouTube isn't publicly going to say, oh, we don't want you to do it, but we'll let you do it.
As long as they get the clicks, YouTube don't give a fuck. Just come over to the site.
Well, I'm going to say this, since we're talking about some old shit like that. YouTube, when you subscribe or download, you got, however you get it, don't you have to like sign in and stuff?
No.
You don't have to sign in.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you are subscribing to the service, you sign in and then, you know, you get whatever perks they give you.
Okay. I'm not aware. Would you say that there's a good amount of people that purchase this subscription?
I don't know how many people, but what I'm saying is just as an average Joe, it is easy to rip content from YouTube, which to me makes YouTube culpable. I know the judge can't consider this because there are other people. Look, I can go to Spotify and listen all day, but we're very fond of very difficult to rip from their site directly.
They put securities in place so niggas don't do that or make it difficult for you to do that, which YouTube could do the same thing, but they not.
And when King Killer's asking, the bottom line is without any extra words is yes, they should be culpable.
Indeed. So I thought I would announce that. I just that the RIAA is basically still it's almost like a honeypot. It's still getting money for basically. I'm going to just put the honeypot right there on the street. And then when you come by and pick up the honeypot, I'm going to get you.
You also understand that that YouTube is a gigantic business owned by Google, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that's a lot of money right there.
Alphabet.
Right? Yeah. So what if the industry is like, oh, well, we're going to sue for this. And let's just say Mr. Google says, then fuck you. Your content is wiped from the internet.
Well, yeah.
Wow. They don't get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
But let's get to the finer point of things. You said this guy was Russian, right?
Yeah, yeah, some. So I mean, his name was Russian. Boy. Yeah,
Ivan Putski, whatever his fucking name is. So the nigga ain't paying. They ain't getting their motherfucking money. What they go? They gonna extradite the nigga? Because I'm like, Russia ain't giving him up.
Well, it goes on to say that the stream rippers previously closed their doors to U.S. traffic, but remain accessible elsewhere for now.
Exactly.
Wow. That sounds like some other shit.
Indeed. That's just a simple VPN, my nigga. So just get your VPN, my nigga. You good. So no doubt. All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is classic rock continues the roll.
Oh, shit. I want to rock.
Sting sells his online catalog to Universal Music Group Publishing for $300 million.
Damn. Somebody's got a fucking awful shitload of money.
Okay, well, this is Universal Music Publishing Group has struck a historic deal and a comprehensive worldwide agreement for the catalog of one of the most commonly and critically successful and acclaimed songwriters of the half century, as it says. Catalog and features Sting's entire solo catalog as well as the entire Police catalog, which I'm partial to personally. Wow. The Police.
Yeah, the Police.
Wow. Yeah.
300 milli.
Yeah, yeah. 300 millions. You know all the hits. Roxanne, Every Breath You Take. You know what I'm saying? Boy, you know, I wonder. I know Combs had to pony up an incredible amount of money for that, but I digress.
Oh, man. Well, it ain't doesn't belong to them no more.
And no, sir. And every time you see Combs dancing and shit, that's Universal Music Group money and shit.
Every step you take.
Wow. So anyway, along with his solo and the Police, basically an analyst said the price of the deal wasn't publicly disclosed, but Universal Music Group Publishing says that the acquisition was actually well north of $300 million. Congratulations to Sting. They are cashing in. once again.
So these record companies is getting in on a deal too?
Well, yeah, Universal. Yeah, I mean, why these two other independent castles buying up everything? Universal Music Group said we better get in on it or whatever. I still did not find any, unfortunately, any African-American artists other than James Brown's numbers who was published.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That is very interesting. It is not readily available like that. And again, Sting's numbers weren't published. The music analyst, this is just their numbers. Okay, just to be fair. But yeah, all the African Americans that I named on past shows, I still did not find numbers. And I'm hazarding to guess that a lot of those guys got probably low double-digit numbers. I'm betting you. I'm just betting.
Damn.
But I could be wrong. All right, so next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is probably going to be at least the biggest topic, maybe. I don't know. Congratulations to the Los Angeles Rams and winning the Super Bowl. I'm good with that. The Super Bowl halftime show.
Nigga said I'm good with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever. You know, it's just a game. The Super Bowl halftime show, obviously everybody knows who's on it. You know, Dre, Kendrick, Snoop, Mary J, Eminem, and 50 show up at Super Bowl, show up at the halftime show, and elicit a firestorm of comments about what it really means and who's it really mean anything to. And there's a couple of things that I took some notes at. Number one, the Eminem kneeling portion of the show. I'd like to get Mr. Busy Wizzy's thoughts on Eminem kneeling. Did it really mean anything? And is it helping African Americans in any particular way?
Not in the very least. That was that was show business. That was his version of a brother tap dancing in the 50s and 60s.
Damn, man.
Tell him how you really feel, my nigga.
Eminem, one of those cats, you know, he bring two basketballs to the court, just so you know he got two basketballs. I don't think it done anything for the black community, and it just probably made him look like a token.
Wow.
You know?
Well, I tell you what, yeah, even Fox News felt good about it. Even Fox News felt good about it because they thought that Eminem's gesture didn't help, let's just say, even if you were into the Black Lives Matter movement, didn't help it, sort of watered it down. So even Fox News was happy about Eminem taking a kneel, if you will. Swerve, I know you got something to say.
So let me get in before Swerve gets in, because I know he's going in.
Yeah.
Mine is short. My take is short. I'm not as strong as a Busy Wizzy over there, but I think Eminem's kneel is too little too late. It's like the movement is way past over kneeling. So him doing it didn't really mean nothing. If he had done it back when it first started, it would have made a big impact to me at that point in time. But now it's like, okay, you just out here kneeling just to say you kneel. So you can just say I'm down with the brothers.
Oh, he is down with the brothers.
Well, we know that, but I'm just saying, this is where he could show all of his white fans that maybe didn't know that he was down with the brothers, he is down with the brothers.
The thing is, it looks so phony. I could see if he knelt and they were doing a Dr. Dre remix of the national anthem or some shit like that. But what were you kneeling for?
Well,
now if you've heard everybody's take, it's your turn to go.
Yeah,
in,
here,
sir.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's 2022's first appearance of Lil Malcolm.
Lil Malcolm.
Yes, sir. Welcome,
Lil
sir.
Lil Malcolm pretty much feels the way Curtis and Clev said. It's a mixture of both. Because it is theatrics, it's too late, and it may have been premeditated.
Oh, definitely premeditated.
You know, I'm talking about with the league and everything.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. League was in on it.
The league was in on it. Yeah.
So that takes away any credibility to me. What I'm trying to do is find a thing, a reason to appreciate that he did it. He did it, but there's so many things that weigh down, or your or lift up that appreciation is all those other things. If I got all these other things to think about as to why he kneeled. So it's like a butter knife. You know, the butter knife got that one sharp side, then you got the dull side on the other side. It ain't really cutting nothing. It's a butter knife situation to me. And the sharp side is the collusion with the league to do it. It being way too late. And y'all know I just flipped up on the turkey as a Thanksgiving thing, right? So I'm trying to give people credit for doing shit. But my thing is, this dude is super rich, super influential. He could, if he wanted to do this, and he did do that rhyme on the BET Awards or whatever award show he did that thing about Trump or whatever.
Yeah.
So he's done stuff, but when it came to that, it's like you playing some shit that's dated. It's dated,
right?
So it ain't too Lil Malcolm, but it's like, yeah, I cannot validate giving that any kind of like real credence. Like, what is it gonna do for the black community that Eminem kneeled? If anything, it'll raise his stature. Like, oh yes, Eminem was for the people. We should follow Eminem. That type shit.
Okay,
it'll be about him.
Just to get him off the hook a little bit. I don't think Eminem considers himself a leader in any movement. I'm thinking he probably just did what he felt like he could do. You know, other than that, he's gonna fall back. The second point is, I think I caught this on MSNBC. I caught an analyst saying, can African Americans walk and chew gum at the same time?
Damn. Wow.
And what he meant by that, is that he thought the National Football League has the best anesthetist in the business that can lull African Americans to sleep in the celebration of Mary J. and Snoop and everybody at the Super Bowl being this the actual official first hip-hop. I know Travis Scott and Big Boy and them niggas is feeling like swept up cereal off the kitchen floor, you know, considering their appearance, but...
LL performed in the Super Bowl, didn't he?
I thought that was the, like, NFC... the NFC Championship game or something. But in any case, it may be... Anyway, he thought that the National Football League has the best anesthetist drug going. The African Americans will get lulled to sleep, okay, just by the fact that you got Dr. Dre and them up there doing what they do. Mm. And to be fair, I thought it was a pretty good halftime show, as halftime shows go, you know, real talk. But were we all lulled to sleep in the spectacle of that? And then while still, you got players who are banned from said league. You're going to have now African-American coaches who are going to be, or at least one coach, banned from said league from seeking substantive change in the league.
Well, yeah, I'd say yes. Niggas was lulled to sleep by that. But you got to understand, it's the NFL. And until niggas hold NFL's feet to the fire, meaning fucking click off all TVs and fuck you niggas, we ain't watching.
Jeez.
Until niggas do that, NFL is like, well, we can give these niggas a couple of crumbs and they'll go away. You know what I'm saying? We gave him Jay-Z. We threw Cap out the league, basically told that nigga not to come back. Fuck you for kneeling.
And then
they bring in Jay-Z to shut niggas up so they stop talking about that
shit.
You know what I'm saying? And then Jay-Z puts the white boy on the stage and lets him kneel instead of bringing Cap out and letting him kneel in his place. Let Cap come out here and kneel in your place. That would have shook some motherfuckers up.
You know, at the very least, I thought M would at least come out with at least one of those number seven I'm with Cap Jones on.
That would have been crazy, too.
At the very least, I thought we would have that. You know what I mean?
He could even wear the black one with the black number.
No name on it.
We know
who it is.
So, no doubt. The next point that I want to get to is, and this is squarely off the text chain, this is somewhere between Easy Bake and Chris Lehman, who both pointed out Now, this is to us, and I want to a man, each of us, to answer.
From the text chain.
Yeah, from the text chain. That's why I keep trying to tell people, if you really want to get in, you got to be on a text chain. But on the text chain, they both had different texts, but about the same thing, about Snoop in a full Crip uniform, Crip walking. And what does that mean, and how the National Football League allowed that to happen?
It's just Negroes out here just tap dancing.
Now, Snoop is known for wearing a lot of do-rags and shit. Full suit rags, you will. You know what I mean? And it's blue. It's Crip. And we know it. And he's Crip walking.
Now, we get on this show. Is that hurting any... That Crip walking... Is it hurting any of their white fans?
No.
So they don't give a fuck about that shit. The only thing that Crip walking does is it's a gang sign shit to niggas to let them know that he's a Crip.
Well, I'd like to ask our guests, so when do we, or do we hold, we're sitting around waiting, what does the NFL allow, or what's Fox News going to say about Snoop Crip walking? They're not going to say anything. When do we say, come on, B?
Because
that's something that you may have to hold off on because there are repercussions.
Let me break it all the way down for you. You got to understand what Crip walking is now. See, Crip walking ain't what Crip walking was. Crip walking in the hood, Crip walking would have got your ass shot by a blood off the break. See, yeah, Crip walking now is like doing a hammer dance, my nigga. Crip walking,
you might want to hold fast on that, Kurt.
Crip walking is like doing...
Now
we're going
to get down to it.
It's real.
B, to white people, Crip walking is like doing the hammer dance. I'm not talking about gangbangers and all that shit. I'm talking about...
You're right, but that's not what Killer's talking about.
Right, thank you.
That's all I'm saying. As far as the league goes, that's what I'm saying. The league don't give a fuck.
Yeah, we agree
because it don't
with
mean him doing the Crip walk ain't nothing like a nigga doing the hammer dance. It's just a fucking dance to them.
But
it ain't no difference to them.
That's not what I'm talking about. I ask, and I repeat it, as African Americans, when do we start holding folk accountable? Okay? Because I done had Big Rush on here talking about the slightest gang infraction is going to cost people their lives.
Yes.
Let alone this guy on national TV, Crip walking. I don't live in LA. I'm sure the Lehmans can get on here, and even Swerve, who live in Compton, can tell you. Swerve, if you will, please, sir.
Yes, it is real. Thinking about Snoop is, he is a caricature right now. You don't, when you think of Snoop, you know his affiliation. You know he smokes weed. You know he's from LA, Long Beach. You know all of this stuff. You know he's part of that gang. But you don't see him as black people. We see him way bigger than that. Right? Am I wrong?
Well,
but you're still not answering the question.
What is the bottom?
When is black people gonna hold niggas accountable? Is what he's saying,
and that's what
for
I'm
something
wondering.
Like that. That is down the line. That's down the line. You want to start with like immediate shit? The answer is it'll be a long time off, yo.
I gotta it's answer our guest. Hold up, I'm gonna hold up.
I was just getting ready to get in.
I'm gonna answer our guest because this is an important thing. Would we be looked at as fucking things up if we wanted to hold somebody like Snoop accountable for something like that?
Yes and no. Because people who know that can be dangerous. It can send a dangerous message. But the thing is, white people and general black folk don't see the imagery or the underlying message behind his Crip walking. So you ask the average person who looked at that Super Bowl show, even black person, they gonna tell you, hold him accountable for what? He's just dancing. They don't know where that dance came from, you know? And in addition to that, it ain't for us to to hold his feet to the fire because he's rich and he don't give a damn about what we say. Jay-Z or Dre or somebody like that should have told him, man, cut that. We ain't doing the crip walking, even though we in L.A. Find another dance to do. But he's going to keep cripping. Mm.
And that's where I was at with it, saying that they don't give a fuck. Crip walking is like doing the hammer dance. It's harmless to the average person. It's harmless to the average person. The average person don't know nothing about that gang life. They don't know nothing about that shit, about what that really represents. They don't know nothing about that at all. And that don't mean shit to them. The person that should be held accountable and the person whose feet should be held to the fire is Snoop all the way. I give Snoop full credit because Snoop is a grown-ass man and knows what that shit means and knows all the messages he's sending. He's the person that should have said, fuck that, I'm not doing it because I don't want to have that image put out there. But even in his mind, he's so used to doing it that it don't mean shit to him.
I was about to say that. Maybe over the decades, it's lost its sting. You know, it's just a regular party dance for Snoop now. He ain't thinking about what he came from and why they did it.
Right.
Mm. You know, he's so far removed from being poor in that gang reality. It even shows in his raps nowadays.
Mm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I think. You know, Snoop should have had better sense, but nobody said Snoop was woke.
Yo, let me just say this so I can get out. Snoop doing that as an entertainer, right?
Right, right.
And sports is pretty much entertainment, right?
Right.
And it's a bunch of African American people of color, whatever, playing in the NFL. All of them are entertainment. Nobody really gives a fuck. Serena did the crip walk when she won some title, and it was a fucking firestorm. So it doesn't matter, B, when it comes to us, it doesn't matter. The train is gone, yo. That train left the station, B.
Mm. Right.
When you can play a record on the radio that sounds so fucking close to the one that's on the satellites or the stream or whatever, yeah, they don't. The black community don't care.
Okay.
Nobody's calling the radio station. Stop saying that. Saying stop playing that shit at 7 in the morning when my kids getting ready for school.
Hey, but Earth, the reason why Serena caught hell when she did the crip walk, because it was in Wimbledon in front of the Queen.
That's the point I was making.
The so it Super means Bowl, something to niggas them is dancing in their living rooms. They out there right on that grass court, you know, right, with tees right and pinky fingers. And that's the difference. That's why.
And they were like, know, don't bring that
Serena
shit around.
Serena
would have
did that shit at the Los Angeles Open.
Oh, yeah. Nobody would care.
The Compton Open. They, you know, they would have put her on a remix somewhere. But Parker it was the course. Queen of England looking at this. That's the
you
difference.
About to lose your job. That's what black people be thinking.
Mm. Right, right. And to wrap it up, as far as not to get too deep, to answer the original, is why, when are black folks going to hold this nigga accountable or hold any black people accountable for the actions that they do? The short answer is they not, because Irv already answered that question. That train has sailed a long time ago. If they could play drill music on the radio and niggas, and you know what the fuck they talking about, and you know the damage that's doing to the young minds, and they plan that shit between commercials, you know what I'm saying? So
at 7 in the morning.
Between commercials, they, you know, ain't nobody giving a fuck at that point because it's acceptable. It shouldn't be acceptable, but it is acceptable. And so to answer the question, no, it's not going to happen. Black people are not going to hold them accountable. Maybe a few pockets here and there may say something, but they're, it's like yelling in a damn mountain somewhere. You might get an echo.
Okay. Let me go into the next point.
Kill, I just want to tell you something real quick. You ain't got nothing to do with that. I'm just tell you something real quick.
All right.
At Eastern Motors, your job's your credit.
Wow.
Wow. I'm fucking Washington, D.C., boy.
This nigga yes, came sir way off the break.
Wow. That,
just kiss it.
Yeah, that's that's just some local news right there. Y'all can That's some local news right there.
Oh, wow.
This nigga wild.
It only came to my mind because niggas ask, When will we? We not, B. This has been going on for a long time, B. Eastern Motors been exploiting niggas, yo. And we've been singing the song right along with it. Going to get that 37% car loan.
All right.
37.5.
There you go.
Get it right.
So anyway.
My God. So let's get into the next two, which I guess this one is similar to the other one. Fox News and other conservative entities did make a point of saying that they heard the line from Dr. Dre, still not loving police, which I believe causes Suffolk, New York City, or New York County, or whatever, Suffolk County Police to post something about that. Their post was taken down, then put back up. But in any case, you know, the conservative outlets did make a point about, you know, and hey, the NFL is down with not loving police, that type of thing.
Seeing that answers the first point,
right?
That I was making, where that doesn't affect white people when you talk about crip walking and doing all those little jigaboo dances. They don't give a fuck about that shit. When you talk about not loving police, fuck the police, kill a police officer, then goddamn it, you're fucking with us now. Officer Friendly doesn't deserve that type of fucking rhetoric.
Mm. All right. And so, and the last one actually is just a personal note from me. I happen to notice during the festivities that the most talented musician of, I believe, of this generation as a young boy. Yeah, he is playing drums on a fucking accompaniment on the Super Bowl. I just found that ironic. Anderson .Paak, I'm a big Paak guy. I'm a big Paak fan. I think he's super talented. He's way, way more talented than the current king who's in blackface and shit. Way more talented, but even him, he's just playing the drums and happy to do so, you know.
On the Super Bowl stage.
Yes, sir.
of Mini Compton.
Right, yeah. It was certainly a California Compton celebration there. And shout out to Kendrick in 50, Mary J. as well. You know, it was a huge Dr. Dre event, so.
And just think about it, 50 didn't even get mentioned as being on the damn bill. He just happened to show the fuck up.
Indeed.
Basically.
Indeed. So, no doubt. And two, we're going to get to this when it comes down to African Americans holding accountable New York City Mayor Eric Adams, of course, gets up there and makes the most ridiculous comment. But I'm telling you, it especially it would come from him. He's sizing up to be a wildcat. And your boy Eric,
police officer.
Yeah, ex-police officer in New York who is now the mayor, Eric Adams, says that he is just learning about drill and wants to ban it from social media. And I'm like, who's advising this motherfucker? What a dumbass statement, okay? You ain't banning nothing from social media, B. And the fact that you just learning about drill music, well.
So let me ask you this question.
My man.
So we were just talking about African Americans holding people accountable, right?
Yes, sir.
So if Mr. Adams says he wants to ban drill music, which is a negative influence on the young mind, what's wrong with that?
Okay, so being a politician, I get being, he's just being a politician. So if you're going to say something substantive about drill music, it better have some substance. Don't get up there and say something that you know that will never, ever, ever happen. Listen to it, G. I want to ban drill from social media. Really?
Curtis.
Right.
The audacity of this man to try to ban free speech should have him out the fuck of office.
I get what you're saying.
I know you're trying to give him a cookie.
I'm trying to give him a cookie, right. I'm trying to give him a cookie because we were just talking about African Americans holding people responsible.
Well, he wasn't responsible. So now we hold him accountable.
Now, he wasn't. Exactly. Now, it would have been different. It probably may not even made a difference because, like Swerve said, it was free speech. But it would have been different if he would have said, I'm going to meet with the heads of all the African-American stations in New York City, Hot 97, mm-hmm. 105 down the dial, even the college stations. If you playing drill, I want you in my office Monday morning. Okay. Now,
them
see,
secret tapes would have showed up the next day.
Mr. Adams, we caught you out here doing some things that you shouldn't have been doing, sir.
Damn, he'd have been off that Marion Barry. Speaking of locals,
bitch set me up.
You know what I mean? So, all right, I'm just saying. So, all right, let's move on. Let's continue to move on. Yo, congratulations to Snoop Dogg. Speaking of Snoop, after we got done trashing him, but this is a congratulatory thing. He bought Death Row. Once again, I tried to find numbers how much he paid for Death Row, but he bought Death Row. The iconic hip-hop label was founded in the early 90s by, of course, Dr. Dre, Suge Knight, Dick Griffey, and even the DOC's name was mentioned, and they were all instrumental in getting that off the ground. Because with any of those guys, the label probably wouldn't have gotten off the ground. Now, there's an unnamed gangster, which will continue to be unnamed, who said he put up the money for Death Row. But that's in the politics. Gang politics will leave and let the gang sort that out. No doubt. Isn't that interesting? Here we are. Snoop, who got jerked heavily. Jerked heavily. Tells a great story about... you know, what's that record? What's the first time we heard Snoop Swerve?
Deep Cover.
Deep Cover being on the radio heavy, or at least, you know, we're first hearing Deep Cover heavy. I remember we were at Said G's crib, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, nigga. Yep.
What was that AM station, 980?
No, this is a pre 980.
It was a regular It was a regular 90.
PGC or something. Yeah.
Whatever way, the station is there now.
Either way, yeah, we now say G-Crib and we first hear it, but I digress. But Snoop tells a wonderful story about being absolutely dead broke, okay, at a spot where Suge Knight hands him a couple of $100 like he is son. And like, yo, go ahead and have a good time. Meanwhile, The record is generating millions. So...
Ooh, it's a dirty game, yo.
The game is way dirty. Mm. Now that he owns the label, is he getting all the publishing? Is he getting, you know what I'm saying?
I
want to know all the inside of that shit.
So,
does he own all the masters?
Along with the numbers that I couldn't find, I also looked for, did he have the masters? I would assume that he did. I'm assuming that he got all of that, although none of that was published. Now, I don't know if he just bought the name Death Row. It very well could be possible that somebody else kept the masters. Because, again, you know, the music that was recorded at that time is the revenue.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if Snoop's going to be recording anything in the future that's going to generate revenue on that aspect of it. But
I have a...
My man. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I have me and Irv were talking about that the other night. I have a couple questions about that. Does Snoop own Death Row like Jay-Z owned the Brooklyn Nets, or he owns Death Row straight out?
Well,
two, if he does, how did he acquire the capital? Because I remember when Hasbro bought Death Row and his catalog for $150 million. You know, now does he have investors with him, or does he have $150 million to put up to buy it outright, and are the masters with that?
Well, again, I didn't see that in any articles when I was doing the research with the masters and where the masters. I'm thinking the worst he probably could have done is just bought the name, okay, which wouldn't have cost him that much money. With whether if it's Hasbro or another publishing company keeping the revenue generating catalog. That's the worst that could have happened. Okay? We'll see. I think we'll see very quickly if he bought that catalog. Because Snoop is an entrepreneurial guy. And like you said, he's out there, whether if it's with Martha Stewart or selling anything he can, you know, to make money.
NFTs.
Yeah, exactly. So... we'll see very quickly as far as that goes. You know, I meant to get on this show. Actually, I did see it or heard and seen a new Snoop record that I absolutely like, that I absolutely love.
The one with Nas?
No, not the one with Nas. It was the next video down. All he's doing is driving around, smoking an L. But the beat is absolutely fantastic. And Snoop is on the track, riding the track, going in. I'm like, where's this guy been?
Wow.
Yeah, I should know the name of the record, but I don't. I was enthralled. There's a Snoop record out there right now currently that I like. Very much so.
You need to see what that is and forward that on in that text message. or the text chain.
I will forward that is when I find it. Indeed.
Bet.
All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is we want to say rest in peace to Richard Dickey Shannon, the founder of Horace and Dickey's.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Who passed away. Yeah. This is local news, yes, but this sir. Is yes, huge, sir. Huge news for wow. us. Those of us who, all of us I know who have partake in the Horace and Dickies. Sir.
That line used to be off the hook.
Yes, you need sir. A plate, just a sandwich.
Just a sandwich, about six pieces of fish on a sandwich.
Yes, sir.
Thick.
Yes, sir. It goes on to say he was an icon on a historic 8th Street corridor with his 12th Street Northeast carry out.
Damn.
Okay. He had served the District of Prince George's County for the past 36 years. He was 84 years old. Unfortunately, close to the time of his death, he said it was unfortunate that gentrification caused the closure of the 8th Street location. And I just found it absolutely insane because during the last years, it's just a block up. They had they just had $1 million townhomes with elevators, yeah. right? And you knew it was coming.
Oh yeah, but not to take a left or a turn right or whatever on this shit. But as we discussed when that happened, it's still hard to believe that they didn't own that already outright. And they were making enough money to cover taxes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, talking property taxes.
Yeah.
So that is a disappointment. Of that part, but it still does not take away the legend of who he was and what he did in DC.
Yeah. And I gotta tell you, the Tacoma Park location, I want that old thing back.
Word. Do they still have the one over on Southeast, over by the big chair?
It's been a minute since I've been over there, I don't know, but I know the Tacoma Park location, I want that old thing back.
Yeah, that one off 8th Street. Was that 7th? I think it was 7th and 8th, right?
Somewhere down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right around that, basically. But yeah, that's that plate, yo. You get the plate, you feed mad heads.
I don't know. You know, and it's funny because, yo, is it wrong for us? And I'm going to ask each person up here and Mr. Clever, who is local, is it wrong for us? Well, look at those days. I remember my first coming here, first being at Horace and Dickey's. And still seeing open air crack sales across the street. You know, sometimes we talk about that like a longing for, like, damn, I remember when are we fucked up in that memory, sir?
You know what it is? Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Chief.
Okay. You know, I was going to say, you know what it is? It's the fact that when we say we want the old thing back and we miss the good old days, it ain't that you miss niggas getting shot. You know what I'm saying? Or miss the fucking drug sales or miss that type of... You miss the atmosphere and you miss the type of prices and the shit that you was paying back then and the food, the amount of food that you used to get. You miss that feeling. You don't miss the niggas, like I said, that dumb shit that used to go on. You say you don't out and you looking, you watching your back like, damn, you see niggas over there like, what them niggas doing?
Sir, Mr. Clever. Clever.
Yeah, I totally agree with Kurt. You don't miss... the bullshit that came along with it, but you did miss the vibe that came along
right,
with it.
Right.
But on a side note, with what Killer just said, Dickie's daughter owns the Tacoma Park location. He had nothing to do with that store up there, so that's why you don't got your old thing.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. What about you, the way I see it is, it's not a longing, but just a memory. Like we lived there. Like, honestly, I just watched a fucking documentary on Rayful Edwards and all the shit that was going on in D.C. in the time period that we were all living there. Like, I'm saying we lived, like, we first got there. Like, when I got there in 87, how wild that shit was. Anybody could have got it at any time. And we knew that then, but we made it through that shit. You know, we didn't involve ourselves with it. We just realized what it was. And I think it's like a nostalgic thing to look back like, damn, of course we want that sandwich with 7 pieces of fish on it. And we want to go to Landover Mall and see all that beauty that we used to see in Landover Mall. Yeah. But we don't want to. He laughing, but he want to be in Landover Mall. But, you know, I don't know, man. It's not a good or a bad thing. It just is what it is, because we lived through that shit, the good and the bad. You can't separate them.
Indeed. No doubt. So, you know, Gone goes another one of the classic food places. Boy, you know, when you start to get old, they start to pile up. You know, so we say rest in peace to, obviously, the 8th Street, you know, the Horace and Dickies. We also say, you know, peace and blessings, those of us West Philly style, you know what I'm saying, Ray's Deli.
Ray's Deli, son. Yeah. Sandwich used to be 10 pounds walking up out of there.
I mean,
oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Everybody got their local spots or whatever. I mean, hey, look, I want to give a shout out, you know what I'm saying, up Rockville to the Greek.
Saturday mornings.
So, man, we used to hit that spot before we did the show.
Yes, sir.
Get breakfast coming here, look sleepy as shit.
Yes, sir. Shout to the rest in peace to Ambrosia. You know what I mean? The Greek. Okay. You know what I mean?
Damn.
Thick plates. Talk about thick plates.
Shh, getting that Greek omelet.
Yeah.
Cheese on that motherfucker. Oh, damn.
I got a quick question,
my man.
Can Horace and Dickies be mentioned in the same sentence as Ben's Chili Bowl? I know we're getting too local for the other listeners.
I say yes.
I say yeah and no. Yes, because of the classic nature of them, but no, because Ben's Chili Bowl is basically gonna turn pop.
Oh.
you go in there now, them prices, you can't afford that shit,
they
my
had
nigga.
The stadium.
You gotta be kidding me.
Well, Ben's Chili Bowl, the reason why, the only thing I think would separate them is length. Ben's Chili Bowl made it through the riots in the 60s, and it was still there. And then, obviously, like you said, like Kurt G said, turn pop, you know, if you will. There was a long time when Ben's Chili Bowl was Horace and Dickies. It was a staple of the hood.
Yes.
You know, for a long time. So the other folks didn't know nothing about that. So, you know, I think they only separated by length of time.
But for what they stand for the city, though, I'm going to say yeah on that level.
Indeed. So just to involve the text chain, from wherever you are in the country and wherever you be, yo, post a food spot in your city that is no longer here. I'd be curious to find out what they served and how good it was. From Detroit cats, we got plenty of Chicago cats in the text chain. Of course, I know LA cats gonna represent. You know what I mean? So post the spots in your city that used to be the food spots that are no longer there, or maybe the ones that are there. You know what I mean? So
emphasis on the ones that ain't though. This is definitely nostalgic.
Yes, sir.
Because
yes,
I can
sir.
Taste all the restaurants that we just talked about.
All right, next topic on the... Well, it's next topic. I'm just going to continue on again. Rest in peace to Richard Dickie Shannon, founder of Horace and Dickies. Next rest in peace is singer Betty Davis, the ex-wife of Miles Davis. They called her the Queen of Funk. I mean, her funk career, although be it very short, was pretty productive. She passed away of natural causes. She said she ultimately ended up divorcing Miles Davis, you know, after a year, just over a year of marriage. He said he was was very violent to her and was super jealous. And they got him on mad documentaries off that pimp hand. So Miles Davis was
okay. Cicely withstood it.
Yeah, she did, you know, until she didn't.
Right.
So all that being said, now there's two records that are sampled from her catalog that I thought that are just my personal favorite that I wanted to stay out there. She had a record called The Anti-Love Song, which turned into Godfather Don's Piece of the Action. Mm-hmm. I love that record, but I have that piece of vinyl. That's a great sample, no doubt. And two, she's probably better known for her record. Let's see, what is the name of that record? Oh, shucks, I didn't get the name of the record. But the sample turned into, oh, no, I did. It's called Shooby Doop and Cop Him from 1974. Betty Davis, that ultimately turned into Once Upon a Time in the Projects from Ice Cube.
Oh, damn.
So, yeah. So, again, rest in peace to Betty Davis, the Queen of Funk. That's the rest of the piece.
There's a documentary on her on Netflix, I believe, if you want to learn more about her.
Oh, there is. Yeah. I'll be watching that later.
You'll see all that funkiness.
Yeah, okay. I watched that one.
All right, indeed. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, I got caught between a hard rock and a banana peel.
Oh, boy.
Damn, that. What the fuck does that mean?
I didn't get caught. Your boy Swizz Beatz got caught between a hard rock and a banana peel. Swizz Beatz backtrash after Versus announces paid subscription.
which is happening. The event is happening tonight, recording night.
Yeah. Wifey was trying to watch that shit. He was trying.
Well, apparently, as of this article, I don't know how true that is. Okay, Swizzy backtracked and said that the tonight's performance will be on IG. Okay, said that there was a mix up in the old announcement about a subscription. I know they posted something on the text chain talking about contact Verizon or your local cable provider.
And niggas was in an uproar, man.
Yeah. Niggas care about shit like that.
Fucking with their pockets.
So we know that Swizz and we know that Timberland got paid. We're not getting the clear numbers as we are other folks. But I'm assuming the investors put a lot of money in both of those gentlemen's pockets. And they're going to want to get paid somehow. And IG clout is not currency. Mm. All right.
It's just popularity.
Mr. Clever. Versus will or will not end up being a pure pay-per-view event?
It will not.
Wow.
Just solely because of the demographic that supports it. And I would figure if you could get Sting against Elton John on there, or The Who against Zeppelin, or if it were more diverse, they may be able to pull it off at a certain price point. But I don't think people will pay. It depends upon the price point also. Like if it's $9.99 to see Ghost and Busta Battle or whatever, people will pay that, I think. You know, but if it gets too outlandish, if it's like a pay-per-view fight or MMA fight, just because we don't support each other at all, period. You know, I would just say behind the type of music usually in the demographic of people, it'll never come to fruition or it won't be successful for a long period of time.
Okay.
That's all I got.
All right. And so I'm piggyback on what you're saying and take it to another level then. Because, all right, everything you just said was 100 because niggas love their free 99. And where they fucked up at is when they came in with $3.99 off the break. Now, if they had came in with $5.99 to watch it, niggas would have been used to doing it by now. They would have said, okay, now we open it at $9.99. Niggas would have been mad, but you know what, fuck it, all right. It's an extra $4, I'll do it. But they came in $3.99, and that's what niggas want to pay. They ain't, oh, fuck that, let IG pay that shit. We ain't paying it. They ain't going to do it. Well, like you said, if they change the demographics, which is what I've always been saying, they're gonna at some point in time they're gonna do that shit because they gotta generate some paper. This shit that we talking about, this small time shit to us, it's big time for us to see an Anthony Hamilton or whoever. It might be big time in the black community, but that shit ain't generating no money. But if you, like you said, you put Sting or somebody huge on that motherfucker, them niggas is gonna pay that. Them demographic gonna pull out their checks. Be like, oh shit, you mean to tell me they're gonna have Sting and they're gonna have Eric Clapton on the same stage? Oh my God, I'm gonna fucking pay. How much is it? $12.99? Fuck it. They're gonna do it. They're gonna fucking do it and don't care. And they're gonna say, you know what? I'm gonna do this every day. Fuck them niggas. We'll give them something every now and then, but them niggas, yeah, they ain't paying. We ain't fucking with them no more.
I think that you were so close to what I was gonna say, I almost didn't say nothing. But I do think that it will in the future will be pay-per-view events, not the prices, Clav, not those fucking ridiculous prices. But I could see in the future, like when heavyweights go up, like when heads are like, oh, even the hood is like, oh, I gotta see that. They'll pay $4.99 or whatever. Ain't nobody really trying to pay. I don't think $10 even at this point after it being free $99 so long. But I do think people would be willing to pay to see these heavyweights. I think they just fucked it up by their little test today or yesterday, whenever that fucking test to see if people would pay. That was a terrible decision. But they are not, you talk about money. They can do advertisers. You see your Puffy Juice in almost all of them. Puffy Juice all over the stage. What is it? What is the real shit called?
Ciroc.
I don't drink that
Ciroc.
Shit. Vodka. Yes. Ciroc. So you got that all over the place. Well, who's to say they can't have other advertisers with banners and all kind of shit? They're going to get money. Just like the motherfucking newspaper. You used to pay 25 cents for a newspaper, but the ad cost was crazy.
So the real money here, and that's why I said the investors are the ones running this now.
Right.
Now, Swizz and Timberland may be the face of it. But the investors are saying, okay, at some point in time, we got to get Ford Motor Company and Toyota and the people who make Clorox and Jimmy Dean sausage to get up in this motherfucker, okay? Because, see, Puff don't pay the bills. Puff
you know
is
how
paying.
They can do that?
Who? How they can do that?
Make the talent more current. If you could have a Bruno Mars against Justin Timberlake, that wouldn't necessarily change the demographic. It'd still be young urban people. Or Usher against somebody. If, you know, we want to see Big Daddy Kane against Rakim.
Right.
But that ain't who paying for it now. Who's consuming, you know, these subscriptions to Spotify and iTunes and all this. I'm sorry to cut you off, brother. My bad.
No, I'm saying...
You're making a good point.
But that's a great point.
If they put Drake against Kanye right now, that niggas would pay.
Yes.
Niggas might pay $20 to see that.
And that's a point. That's a great point. It's the cats who are paying. You have a younger demographic who think nothing of paying the Spotify jump off. My daughter pays that. No big deal. If I really want to listen to something straight up, I just like, Olive, let me get the credentials real quick. You know what I mean?
Credentials.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, I'm not. I come from that era, you know what I'm saying, where I ain't paying for that. I might pay for the physical, but I ain't paying just to be paying.
For the touch, what you say, the look but don't touch?
Yeah, exactly.
You're paying for that, huh?
Yeah, honeypot, nigga. You can look, nigga, don't touch. You know what I mean? Exactly. So that's the era I come from. So, yes, sir. And two, want to piggyback on something that Mr. Clever said again about if you're going to start bringing in that heavyweight 70s rock talent who's getting all his goddamn money. You know what I mean? You got Sting. He gonna bring the police back out and shit.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Up against whoever, another current 80s, maybe a U2 or something. Nigga, what? You got all kinds of fucking guap rolling in. And fuck $10. Like you said, you might charge like MMA pay-per-view, $21.99. You know what I mean? Or maybe a Floyd fight prices or something. Damn. When you got them type of
bucks.
I'll wait for the after play.
Hey, yo.
I'll catch the U2 replay, my nigga.
Hey, you don't think that if you get some Sting, the police, U2, some heavyweights like that
They're going to make some guap.
Oh, yeah. They'll get that.
You know what I mean?
And that's when it's going to be bye-bye, Negroes. We ain't coming back.
back. Oh no,
the money's Damn. Over here.
Nigga, he hit it with
no
the vibe.
No nothing.
We over here. Unless y'all Damn. Niggas want to pay this $60, we ain't fucking with
and
y'all.
And somehow it just don't look right with Swizz and Timberland making the announcement. So
they're gonna be in charge of the urban division.
And it's cheaper than going to an actual concert with biggest these TVs man. Getting in the surround sound systems and DoorDash and all. Man, white folk gonna pay for that.
There'll be some black folks too, for sure.
Oh, sure.
No doubt.
There'll be parties. They won't be watching on their phone, that's for fucking sure.
Yes.
Watching in front of the big screen.
Exactly.
No doubt. So, wow, I think that's, you know, I don't have a whole bunch of topics this week. I thought unless you guys got anything left over.
Damn, I don't know.
All right.
We did a lot of talking about Snoop.
Right. Oh.
But even though we left that one thing off that I think is frivolous at this point.
Well, then what is it?
Oh, that lawsuit that was dropped on him the day that he bought Death Row.
You wow. know, I look, at this point, at the behest of getting in trouble.
Uh-oh. Sorry, killer.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, look, I mean, at this point, you know, if you know, if you're a woman, unfortunately, and you feel like, you know, you're sexually assaulted and you didn't get a day in court, your recourse is the suit. And a lot of times, whether guys did or didn't do, it may be more advantageous for them to just pay the victim so she can go away. It depends. You know, I'm always the person who turns to what Juwan Howard and Chris Webber did. The woman who accused them of sexual assault, but they were not having it at all. And countersued her, and she ended up having to apologize to them and say that this never happened. So it depends. I mean, so yeah, you know, he got a lawsuit got dropped on him for something that happened, what was it, 9 years ago?
9 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at this point, it's not like I'm sympathetic to that woman, but we don't know. And at this point, her day in court has passed. So we'll see what Snoop does. It may be advantageous for Snoop to just pay. And my example kind of is sometimes what car companies do. Car companies have number crunchers to say, you know what, we're going to leave this defect in the car because it is cheaper for us to pay per capita lawsuit than to actually fix the car. It's going to cost us more to fix the car. And sometimes this is the calculation that that celebrities make, that high net worth individuals make. You know, yeah, I'm out here wilding. Somebody sue me. A quick six figures ain't nothing to me.
Yeah, that's a terrible life in real life. You know what I'm saying? Damn. Might feel good to him, but damn.
Yeah, so.
Terrible life, yo.
My man, please.
Can I come in with something?
My man, yeah, please.
Yeah. Going back to the halftime show and you know, what Killer was saying about holding black folk accountable. You know, niggas can be real selective with that because when Killer was saying, he said Dr. Dre would reference the cops, nobody holds Dr. Dre's feet to the fire for his extensive history of women abuse. He beat the hell out of D-Bonds.
Michelle A
did many videos on that, but nobody, only thing niggas know is, oh, he got $800 million. You know, he done produced the best. But nobody says anything about this. So are we going to hold Dr. Dre accountable at some point?
Well, I'm saying no, because the day of him being held accountable has long passed. And that African-American futures, that's how this is looked at. So a lot of people do that same thing with Hov. You know what I mean? They'll take Hov and they'll say, you know, well, Hov sold crack and he stabbed Lance Unn and any other unscrupulous thing that Hov might have done in his past. But now Hov is who he is. And Dr. Dre's right there with Hov. He's a businessman. You know, he comes from X amount of circumstances. Now, the only thing I will say is that when I mean hold Dre accountable, I mean, when I say that, it is to me is a metaphor of how we're going to hold our lives accountable. Because trust me when I tell you, white folks are not holding criminal and gangsters, businessmen in their own communities for things that they've done in the past. They're not doing it. Okay? So we have to temper that. You know, yeah, it's cool if you want to bring up that he has a history of violence towards women, okay? And if he has trouble in the future, no doubt. But
so do you hold a recovered crackhead who ain't took crack no more, Clev? Do you still call him a crackhead?
No, I get what you guys are saying. But what I'm saying is that people get real selective.
True.
Mm-hmm. Well, people get selective when it comes to... let me tell you something. People get selective when it comes down to people with talent anyway. People get selective in all disciplines. Athletes, actors, actresses, in all disciplines. People get very selective when it comes down to talent anyway. So it's not like just Joe Blow at his job or whatever and he showed up drunk. You know, well, you're fired. You know, that's... he's not special. He's just Joe Blow working a blue-collar job. You know, when it comes to talent and when it comes to high-profile African-Americans, hey, man, they African-Americans are going to tend to rally around them and protect them. Now, a metaphor for our lives is, what about trap? What about drill? What about, hell, even gangsterism? Gangster music from our era. You know what I'm saying? Look, we all had that blind spot. So held accountable, I say that to myself. What I wouldn't have been the guy out there fighting heavy about cleaning up rap music when the Chronic is full crunk in its glory.
Right.
I wouldn't have been the guy who was out there talking about that when I'm listening to, you know, Schoolie D records. I wouldn't have been the guy out there with Jack Thompson and them in Florida protesting against Two Live Crew. I wouldn't have been that guy. So I hold myself in that same vein.
We weren't that guy.
We weren't that guy.
We weren't that guy. And to your point, Busy, you're right. Niggas do get selective. And it just, like you said, it depends on who it is and what they've done, too. Also. Because you know how niggas with OJ. Niggas know OJ probably did that shit. I had something to do with it. But just because... the white cops got away with what they got away with. Niggas like, fuck it, let OJ get off.
Okay, but then I bet R. Kelly sitting in the slammer right now talking about, well, where's my love?
But R. Kelly is a repeat.
Touché.
Put out another record.
He's a repeat serial offender. That's what R. Kelly is. A repeat serial offender. Niggas is like, at some point in time, it's like, you know what, nigga, you ain't never gonna learn. Dre at some point learned his lesson. At least his wife ain't come forward and say he was beating her ass. Put it that way. You know what I'm saying? But this nigga been going hard since Aaliyah and never stopped. So niggas is like, you know what? At some point in time, your luck gonna run out. And niggas is gonna be like, fuck you, R. Kelly. We don't care the fuck. How many fucking Believe I Can Fly songs you write, nigga? That shit you doing is ridiculous.
So.
All they gotta do is pull up that interview and he just looked fucked up.
So before we get out, all this talk about, you know, things in one way, it kind of made me think about one of my favorite records of all time is Slick Rick, The Moment I Feared.
Wow.
And the reason why I bring up that record is because, you know, a lot of times when we're looking for a balance in our lives, the story in that record is amazing. The story in that Curtis. Record... Sir,
can that be on the list
at the end of the show?
End of the show, thank
please.
You.
Well, look. I mean, real talk. The story of the record is: it starts out with Slick Rick basically at work. Okay, getting off work and thinking about going to the Latin Quarter. He shows up at the Latin Quarter, okay, got in free, but he's partying with his friends until the thugs rolled up on him. He's trying to explain to the thugs, the chains ain't really real. They just a front for the girls. They took his chains anyway and beat his ass. He's getting his ass beat. He's riding home on the train. Okay, he gets off the train. He buys a beer and goes sits in the park and think about what happened this night. Drug dealer roll up on him and his girl. They looking for an address. He shows them the address. He wakes up the next morning with a knock on his door. It's the drug dealer's girlfriend. He invites her in. He knocks her off. Okay, this is in a 1 3-minute record, but the story's amazing. As they're going to the elevator to leave the crib, Daddy Boy, the local drug dealer, shows up. You know, he did the story. Daddy Boy was on it. He was on the elevator. And then in the background, he's like, I know y'all just ain't got them finished fucking. I know y'all just ain't got them finished fucking. Slick Rick shoots and kills Daddy Boy. They go to Daddy Boy's apartment. They get all Daddy Boy's blow and money out of the freezer. Slick Rick kills the broad, talking about, yeah, I don't need nobody who's bad for my health, so I put the sugar head out. It's crazy. The lyrics is crazy. Now he's the man. He's the new neighborhood dad. People rolling up on Slick. Yo, Rick, my man. A cop rolls up on him, says, I got the evidence that you killed those two people and that you're a drug dealer. He's on the neighborhood, the TV news for a little while. He gets sent to jail. Okay, this is one record, The Moment I Feared by Slick Rick. In jail, at the end of the record, you hear this, come over here, nigga. And he gets sexually assaulted in jail. It's The Moment I Feared.
Damn.
We talk about balancing our lives. That's a record that I think about quite often in that in today's trap and drill scene, you only get one way. You only get one story. Okay, I'm killing a whole bunch of niggas, or I'm selling a whole bunch of drugs. You don't get no repercussion. You don't get no backstory. Right, exactly. Or I'm on lean every day, every minute. Okay, a gallon of it, maybe.
Oh, here you go again.
Gallon of shit.
So I'm just saying the brilliance of a guy like Slick Rick and a record, and a 3-minute record or so, The Moment I Feared. Go ahead, sir.
Sir, could I want to go on record.
Yes, sir.
As saying, I need you. I know it's not going to happen, but I need you to do something for me, sir.
What's that?
Can we get maybe once a month? I would like to have it every show. But can we get at least once a month you picking out a record and telling a story like a fucking documentary, like you did with that Slick Rick shit?
That was classic.
The way you did it from classic. The beginning to the end of the shit. Niggas ain't got to listen to the song. I ain't got to play the end of the show at the show now. And when you told that shit was so descriptive, my nigga, I was like, wow, okay. It was The Moment I Feared.
So anyway, shout out to Slick Rick, yo. No doubt. Hey, maybe so. I think about that. And think about, you know, a descriptive documentary, if you will, about a particular record. But anyway, the point I was making is that a record like that shows the entire high and low and of life, okay? That, you know, you could be the man for a minute, but then ultimately there's consequences to be made. That's all I'm saying about that. So
okay,
I think we're ready for Kirk G's World Famous now.
Oh, okay,
after I talk too damn much.
I love that story though, B. All right, this week we got Novelist and Dixon Hill, Book of Changes. That's Novelist and Book, Dixon Hill, Book of Changes. That's from 2021, still on my list. I'm trying to clear it. And then we got Shay Noir, Food for Thought. That's Shay Noir, Food for Thought.
Is that the last year?
No,
that's this year.
That's this year.
Oh, okay.
Just released a couple weeks ago. All
right, yeah, that's this year shit. Yeah.
All right, that's on my listening list.
Yeah, and a song, since you were sitting here talking about songs. It's a song by Sirius B called Miss Lady. I will play that one. That would be the first song you hear after we finish talking. Because I listened to that joint on the way over here. That shit would have my head nodding. So I'm going to put that one on there. Sirius B, Miss Lady. You can look it up right now.
All right, that's what's up. So I'm going to say what's good to our guest. I'm going to thank him for being on the show. Is there anything that you got going on you want the general text chain or the public to know about?
Oh, no, no. I'm pretty low key. I do want to say I didn't. I'm proud of the text chain. I didn't know. I don't know if Irv told you the story, but the text chain in its current incarnation was from me.
Yeah.
And it has blown up tremendously. I'm rarely on there these days, but I stick my head in from time to time. But I don't got nothing to promote or anything. Oh, like
okay.
That,
then we offer you baby. Then we offer you a huge debt of gratitude.
Yes, we're gonna give you your flowers right now. Like, yes, thank you, sir, for starting the text chain for us.
Wow, indeed. Somewhere I think I knew that, but you know how, you know,
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
Chain was going.
You know. Yep.
He set it up and gave me the keys.
Yeah, wow. Yo, gotta get a man behind the wheel some credit.
Sure. But it's a beautiful thing because, you know, I don't say anything, but I'll peek my head in, and it may be a dust up here and there, but it's genuinely all love and people sharing knowledge and all that.
Yes,
and
sir.
And it's dope. So y'all who listening to this show right now, hit Kurt G or E-Color and get in the chain, because it's a beautiful thing.
All right,
you might meet some real friends.
Indeed.
Yes,
no
sir.
Doubt.
There's been some connections in the text chain.
Yes, sir. Indeed. So, okay, that's it. We'll see you next week when we see you.
All right.
Peace. Holla.
One.
Peace.
This all that matters, my drug, this ain't no shatter. She whips it like this batter. Respect your intellect with thanks, I'm into it. Express my penmanship, write it down, cause I get into it. How we start, how it finish, every second, every minute. Brown things like Ari Lennox, watch the summer falls and when it goes. Express my feelings with souls, the sun meets the moon, the stars connect. Creative being, talking life form. Keep it hot, keep it buzzing like the bees. Honey from a tree, she's southern as can be. With them juicy lips and thick thighs, vintage fly caught my eye. And take your mind, Miss Lady. We passing time, Miss Lady. Just watch me rhyme, Miss Lady. And open minds, Miss Lady. You're going wild, Miss Lady. I love your style. I love your sex appeal. You give me chills. I pay your bills. You give me feels. I keep it real. No fairy tale, no Jack and Jill. Elevator shit, no fucking hill. Top floor shit, we eat a meal. Love calls like seal. Writing words, got some time to kill. Expressing how I feel. Manifesting, make it real. Diamond in the rough. You're a steal, open for more. We all on the court, suited and booted like time for. It's the P and me, she wants more. The mind wonders like a world tour. Show ready with the showstopper. Notorious, I'm her big papa. The elegance is so proper. Heavy metal, love no copper. You play the nurse, I be the doctor. Deep dive in your chakras. Deep dive in your chakras. In your chakras.
You are my woman, and I love you. But if you ever tell me that you're not speaking to me for a week again, I will drop you like a bad.
I was.
Before I met you, you knew that then, and you know it now. So please spare me those little 10-minute dramas you perform every time I want to go to a game, okay?
Then she's. I love it when you take charge.
Yes, you are, and don't you ever forget me.
I won't forget. I was.
One, two. Yeah. It's better when it's me who's attached to it. Easily that do it like they want it one way. And I'm clipping lollipops out of the store and you fall if you attach to it. Stand still tough if you still didn't register. Took over the staircase when ain't no one let us up. Acquainted with everyone that they said was ahead of us. Had to look behind us to see they wasn't next to us. Let y'all tell it, all of this shit is even. But it's far from, like you don't believe in believing till the God comes. The water the Henny like if the bar done. The bottle the same dude the way I was called from. Yeah, legendary my point of view. You can only relate if they ever anointed you. Gave away a few crowns, same differences. Just thank God some of us kept it meticulous. Yeah. kept it meticulous the whole time.
Whole time.
It made sense. Everything, right?
Yeah. Everything. What? Okay. Check me out. Word to everything. Heard the heavens sing, the only thing I learned this year, stop settling. Been at the top of my class, y'all wasn't present. Knew this shit was a classic the moment I heard the reference. Get the message, never apologetic. Speak the real, y'all niggas feeling synthetic. World renowned, the style feeling eclectic. Playing my position, truly been on a mission, yeah. Perfecting my craft, protecting my cash. Getting paid in full, niggas ain't know the half. If you saw me in the trenches, you would know why I laugh. Mix the killer with coronas, haters take off the mask. Good luck. Fuck. You good. Yes, sir. You got another one. Come on.
Mention, I'm still reppin'. A lethal weapon, moving these streets with these aggressions. Speak it like a lesson, fulfilled, I'm dealing with the essence. Still in the field, dealing assessments. I'm in the business of burning bridges. So I can't look back or turn digits or take advice, I'm not concerned with it. Paid the price, I got to earn living. What they told me, I took to heart. If I agreed, I let it stick. If not, I took it apart. Read the last page of the book, first to start. Don't write the hook first without making my mark. If I talk my shit correctly, close friends, I'll offend directly. Don't think, write it down where the pen directs me. Put the needle to the record like I'm recollecting. Recollecting time, wrong shit, I be correcting. I need the pressure present. Shit's a puzzle that I couldn't figure out. But now I see connecting, need the lesson. On my Professor X shit, a large professor looking at the exit. I'm out the front door. Make a toast, this is volume two. I treat it old when the drama's new. Go for the throat until the collar blue. What I gotta do.
It's getting late, man, I wanna go home. Ain't no time for debate, man, I wanna go home. My mind's in a state, man, I wanna go home. I'm feeling closed in, and I wanna go roam. Through the cotton fields, yeah, and tobacco plants. Got a fire burning in me like a jack-o'-lantern. Turn, and look over your shoulders, honey. My group was looking at you like you owe the money. Reparations, conversations. Damn, 40 acres takes a lot of patience. Land of the free, home of the brave. Blood of the child, soul of the slave. Strange fruit, hanging from a poplar. Screams so loud, it's like he's singing in the opera. He wasn't guilty of the crime when they locked him up. Damn shame, he could have been a doctor, bruh. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, but the fact remains. You'll always be a threat when you're black with brains. They'd rather see it on the pavement. This is meant to enslave me. Listen to me. It's getting late, man, I wanna go home. Ain't no time for debate, man, I wanna go home. My mind's in the state, man, I wanna go home. I'm feeling closed in, and I wanna go roam. Through the capital, with a bunch of guys. Long guns on our shoulders and a bunch of knives. If the capital police come to tame the black beast, how much you wanna bet we lose a bunch of lives? Is this democracy or hypocrisy? It ain't justice for all as far as I can see. It's justice for some. A proud boy clutching his gun is less threatening than the black man in touch with his son. It's sad. Cause they look at me and they see a threat. And it just grows like the mold on a chia pet. And it's all by design, do you see it yet? I could fight for this land, I could be a vet. It wouldn't matter one bit in the scheme of things. My equality was drowned in the sea of dreams. Land of the free, home of the slave. Screams of a child, blood on the grave. Shouldn't feel like the world's trying to take it down. When the kid screams out, why I gotta be in the hood? Like a tree in the woods, does it make a sound? It's the place where justice lives. For every man, every woman, what they must have did was take the welcome mat and put a torch to it. Like a house without a porch to it, I can't go home.
It's the last day of the week, boy, what a relief. My muscles kinda ache, they felt rigid and stiff. So I looked around and I smoked this big fat split. Now I'm happy as can be, I'm in this pothead spell. I put some poison in my eyes so that no one can tell. It's 12:55, almost time for the bell. Put the breakfast in the mouth so that the mouth don't smell. Now back on the job, I don't bother no one. I keep strictly to myself and all my work gets done. Now the job's finally over, it's time to have fun. And I'm hanging out with Jeff, there's a kid named John. Y'all were drunker than a skunk and happy as can be. We went to the Latin quarters and we got in free. Scooping all the girls like nothing with my truck jewelry. Cause I'm a fly brown brother and you can't school me. Boogie Down was performing, hey they ain't no joke. And a bunch of Brooklyn kids was looking all down my throat. Was it my big chain with the big plates on them? Then they rolled on me and told me to run them. This was the moment I feared.
Hey yo, homeboy, take off your chains, man. About to hurt you real fucking bad.
This was the moment I feared.
No, it's matter, stupid, take the shits off, man. The fuck's up?
I said they're really not real, they're just a front for the girls. Then a whole bunch of furious fists caved my world. I was in pain and so was shame. I wish I had not came. Had to kindly pick up my face and then fly home on the train. Then I went to an open store, that's where I brought me a quart. Then I went to the park and I sat and I thought. I seen Danny Boy Bluey's with his girl named Sarah in one of his cars. I think this one's a Rivera. She calls out to me, but I really couldn't hear her. So I went just a little bit closer so I'd hear a little clearer. She said,
I need Veronica Place, that's right near Tilden.
I said, I know where that's at, cause that's right next to my building. I gave them the information and they went on their way. I went home and there I slept till almost 3 the next day. Then someone knocked on my door, I opened up, no quit. It was Sarah with some magazines and a band-aid kit. She tried to use me and seduce me, and at first I wasn't with it. Then we did it and we did it and we did it and we did it. She said it was great, she said she's glad we had done it. The elevator came and Danny Boy was on it. This was the moment I feared.
Hey yo, what the fuck's going on here? What you doing to my girl?
This was the moment I feared.
No, y'all ain't just finished, fuck.
Billy was huffing and puffing and he swung at me.
Word.
So I pulled out my jammy and a sinister nerve. Then he was dead too in the head. I took the cash as a visa. She said,
don't worry about a thing, just make sure nobody sees us.
We went back to her apartment, there was blowing the freezers. She said,
we're rich, we can have whatever will please us.
Now I don't hang with no one who ain't good for my health. So I put this little girl head out and I went for self. Now I was rich, yes I was rich, I could have whatever would please me. Now I could wear real gold in front of folks that would tease me. Y'all me, auntie, a new neighborhood dad. Cats would roll up on me screaming,
yo Rick, my man.
I guess I was too flowered up, I'm sorry to say. You see a cop rolled up at me and told me,
make my day.
I said relax brother, but he had proof that I had done it. Y'all be had four Sarah's underwear with my fingerprints all on it. This was the rise and fall of my fast lane style. And I was the main event on the TV for a while. But now I'm in jail doing life and I'm scared. Some kids snuff me cold and grease me where no one dared. This was the moment I feared.
Turn around, nigga.
This was the moment I feared.
Ugh.